it's the internet. Oh, you look pretty.
The internet's looking nice today.
That's Thank right.
Greetings, humans.
Stylish.
I did the extra eyeliner today.
Me too.
You too?
No. Well,
no. This is a special occasion.
No, I did the raggedy ass beard and whatever clothes were on top of the pile.
Well, it is the first squirrel report of 2013.
We haven't started the audio yet, apparently.
What? Yeah, what? What? Oh, God, I should sign into the thing. Okay.
We absolutely have started the audio.
Okay, folks can't hear it. Oh, wait, no, folks can't hear it. Never mind.
There's a delay, okay. Remember?
One per... Ah.
I should probably sign in.
Hi again, Internet.
They heard you the first time.
They said they didn't. I believe them. I trust
the internet. The internet lies.
The internet lied to me. You bastards.
Hey, Alan, who invented the internet?
The same guy who just sold his TV channel to Al Jazeera.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, actually, you know what? Before we get started on that, let's do this.
You need the intro.
Hey, guess what? It's 2013. January 3rd, 2013. Do you know where your goats are? How about your kids?
That's a weapons grade pun right there, Alan.
And do you know what I like best about this year?
What? Nothing.
It's driving triskaidekaphobics crazy.
Oh.
You just had to use that word.
Yeah. I did. It's I had to work it in. I'm like, I know what the fear in number 13 is called. Neener, neener, neener.
His big thesaurus, his word of the day word.
Also, besides our usual... Go ahead, Jay.
Apparently, the word of the day was Tony. Nobody had ever heard of the word, the adjective Tony before. When I used it. Hey, well, thank you, Alan. I was describing Newton, Mass, because we had idiots attempting to cross the fucking highway.
Yeah, the Tony Town. It's like upscale and ritzy.
Yes. Precisely. Like, oh, ha, ha, Tony, which one? Bennett or?
Oh, God. Everybody's
a comedian.
Is the
root word of Tony Tone?
Yeah, like Tone Loke, yes, that's it. Thank you.
Tone Loke used to be a war dialer program.
A what?
Tone Lock. It was a war dialer. It's a war dialer program back in the 80s.
No.
Yes, it was.
The dude
stole his name, his rapper name, from a war dialer program.
I thought it was short for Tone Deaf, but anyway.
Nope.
Hey, Tone Loke, did he do the Big Bucks thing or no?
No.
No, that's Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah.
Sir Mix-a-Lot. I'm sorry. I get them confused.
Tone Loke was Wild Thing.
Yeah.
Wild Thing, yes.
Funky Cold Medina.
Yep.
Right.
The A and B side, I think.
Yeah, the one record.
Yes.
Good for you.
The one record wonder.
Except, you know.
All right. And also, we're going to be talking about.
Still gets royalties from that.
Sure.
We're going to be talking about a more serious call-in topic, but also a less serious call-in topic. Please share us how many official documents have you fucked up writing in 2012 in the year?
Yeah.
I was doing
how many checks have you had to throw away?
I was doing scientific logbooks. I just kept writing 2012.
Are they bound pages?
What's that?
Are they bound pages in the logbook, or could you just rip them out?
These were all kind of just these were animal cage cards, actually. So I just scribbled it out and wrote 2013.
The animals have no concept of year. Just telling you.
No, but the scientists who are going to be collating the data sure do.
and yeah. They don't like it when you get the year wrong.
And overall, they're going to figure it out since the lifespan of these mice isn't that fucking long.
It's less than a year?
We don't keep them around that long.
Oh.
You can squeeze like 3 years out of a mouse if you really wanted to, but you don't want to be studying in
squeeze
the
Squeeze it
point.
Out?
Somebody Google snorted.
Do you use duct tape with that when you're squeezing you're out a year?
Only if you don't want them to explode.
Okay. So anyway, about that Al Jazeera.
Okay.
You know what's funny? I read Glenn Beck tried to buy that channel, Current TV, and they said no because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't he wasn't good enough or something. I don't know.
He didn't hate the Jews as much as Al Jazeera.
Yeah, he didn't share their philosophy, but apparently Al Jazeera is tight with Al Gore, man. It's like the Al's. They're simpatico.
An anti-Semite Democrat?
Al Jazeera is dedicated to facts and truth. I'm like, are you for real? These are the people that were helping Hezbollah stage ambulance attacks. Hello?
Hey, so long as facts and truth involve Jews eating blood and babies.
That's right. That's all that matters after all. Fake but accurate. What's funny about that story is apparently Time Warner has dropped that channel from their cable system
because
they didn't approve it or something like that. I don't know. That was their story.
Because fuck you, Al Gore.
What's interesting is, you know, now we see, you know, because if this was a for-profit thing, I think dropping that many viewers, I mean, granted, Time Warner is not as big as Comcast, but they're pretty fucking big. They got, you know, several million customers. And if this was a for-profit deal, that would pretty much kill it. Losing that many viewers on a such a small, you know, not very watched channel. So we'll find out whether this is being bought for propaganda purposes, which is likely. That's what I think.
Come on.
Or whether it's a
propaganda
profit thing.
Really?
Al Jazeera? What?
Uh-uh.
Time Warner is owned by the Jews.
What's also really funny? No, Time Warner is owned by Ted Turner, who puts his meat in Hanoi Jane.
Yeah,
and that makes it.
I thought they broke up
for a little bit, but I think they're back together.
Yeah,
doesn't matter. They're birds of a feather.
Might as well.
You know those liberals.
Quick, drop a goat on them.
Oh, I can do the goat.
Do the goat.
No, we're the one that does goats.
Hang on. Can y'all hear that?
Explain the goat.
I'll put it in the chat. That's a goat.
I'm not doing a goat impersonation on the show.
This is a video of goats making stupid noises off of YouTube.
I hope they need pet pets. Ooh, want to pet all the goats and then cook them in a nice curry.
goat
curry.
Yeah, that was funny.
Oh,
actually, I just found a restaurant nearby an Indian restaurant that makes goat curry, and I'm all excited because I've never had goat before.
Oh, you'll like it, Brita.
I'm sure I will.
The brownest of the brown meats.
If it's done well, it's pretty good.
I mean, the trick is, it's not even done well. You just need to slow cook it because it's straight.
Oh, well, no, whatever.
If you slow cook it, it goes from stringy and nasty to chewy and delicious.
Cabrito.
I kind of have a rule that I will not eat an animal that I live with. So cats and turtles and humans are off the list for now.
No long pig.
For now. Did you hear that? For now.
You know, it could change.
I lived with a turtle for 18 years, and I'll eat one of them some bitches.
I won't.
I won't eat your turtle. That's where I draw the line.
Yeah, we would have a talk about that.
Wow.
Yeah, but no.
And I won't eat cat because I guarantee they taste nasty.
I'm sure carnivores don't taste good, just as a general rule. They just kind of is.
But omnivores, yum. Omnivores are delicious.
Yeah. Well, bear, I hear, is greasy. Bear, it's like Italian.
Bear is very greasy.
Yeah, but lots of people enjoy bear meat.
But, you know, Miguel, however,
to our nemesis.
On the table.
Speaking of bears,
Miguel only eats chickens.
Really?
He won't even eat fish. He won't eat anything with scales on it.
Yes, weird.
What about red meat? Does he eat like cows?
No.
Really? Uh-huh. Something's not right there.
I know.
So anyway, I guess we made fun of Al Gore. There's really not much to say about that.
I just want my light bulbs back. That's my big issue with
I want
my light bulbs back.
Talk to Nancy. She apparently wants to get rid of some toilets that are high capacity. They're like 7 gallons or something.
What?
Yeah, but they're like 1970s, like goldenrod and copper tone color.
So,
honey, my toilet is from 1935. I will fight you for that fucking toilet.
It's the Cadillac of toilets.
It is the Cadillac of toilets.
Cadillac of toilets.
You can flush it. I have to replace it.
One at a time.
I have to replace the toilet seat. It will cost me $100 because I broke the toilet seat. Don't ask. I broke the toilet seat. Anyway.
Hey, Brita, you're a fat bitch.
I totally am. I am rough with toilets.
I love the fact that I could just call Brita a fat bitch right to her face because she knows my shadow ways more than her.
That's right.
Kill you from half a mile away.
My toilet is from 1935. I love that toilet. I will fight you for my toilet. Really, we have considered like replacing the toilet with a modern toilet, but I'm hanging on to it because Brita, it flushes. It's the pooping toilet. If you want to poop in my house, poop in the Cadillac.
That sucker will flush anything. It'll flush a body. You can flush a body down that toilet.
Bed sheet.
Yeah. Tell you.
Goats. It'll flush goats.
It'll flush anything.
Yeah.
And Alan, did you drop a serious brown dog in Brita's toilet?
I did.
Everybody has pooped in my toilet.
Yep.
No.
I haven't pooped in your toilet. What we need to do is you need to get Jay to poop in your toilet because Jay can work some fucking tonnage.
Oh God,
Jay, you know you haven't shit blogged. Because
he's right.
Hey,
you haven't shit blogged in a long time, Jay. I'm just saying.
Oh, I'm so glad we're starting the year off right.
Yay! Happy to
look. You set your expectations low, and they can only go up.
Under promise and over deliver.
Are we exactly. calling this the teens then, or
yes, it's the teens officially. We finally have a decade we can call something. You know, we can call. It has a nickname.
Oh, we've had the aughts.
The aughts was stupid.
Well, it's probably nobody one could call it.
Nobody called it that.
Aught 6, back in aught 6.
Yeah, it sounds like an old timer. Yeah, remember back in 05. My teeth fell out. Hold on.
Oh, that's funny because that's actually how Alan sounds.
Okay. So anyway.
They're still discussing my quote in the chat. That's funny.
Our topic, our main topic tonight.
Yes.
Is,
can I do it?
Yeah, go ahead. It's weird.
Your topic.
It's weird
yeah.
topic. So
yeah.
You do it.
Yeah.
Weird.
I did up a blog post a while back. It's up on my blog that's linked to this Squirrel Report. So you can click on the little track back on this episode to find it or whatever you want to do. The blog post is called Flabbergasted. Just search for Flabbergasted. I'm sure I got a.
Have you ever had your flabbergasted?
Or that. But it's overall my statement is the fact that, you know, our schools and our popular culture for decades now has been training people to essentially be sheep, to follow the leader, to not be the odd one out in the group, to respect anything that vaguely resembles authority, whether that be, you know, your teachers or whether that be the TSA or anything like that. And, really, a lot of the bullshit that goes on in society is because, I mean, the reason we have the TSA right now, they haven't caught anyone. They cost us millions of dollars. And yet everyone willfully walks right through those scanners. No goddamn problem. Why? Because they don't fucking care. They don't want to be the odd one out. They don't want to rock the boat. They've been trained to be sheep. Now, it's my assumption that if you're listening right now, you're not one of those.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
And I listed that, you know, as a young child, I was probably 5 or 6 or so, maybe 7 at the oldest, but probably not. That I had a babysitter who was just that would look after me and a bunch of other kids, before it was time to go off to school because both my parents went off to work, and so they would drop me off at her place and they'd go to work. and then she'd look after us until it was time for us to go to school. Then she'd send us off to school, and then I'd come home. And this woman, let's put it lightly, she was a cunt. She was just a nasty, nasty, horrible person. And
weird has dropped the C word.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the C word is is in play. Okay.
The C word is in play and well deserved by this okay. horrible excuse for a human being.
And weird does not drop it lightly.
Oh, weird does drop it lightly.
I'm trying to help the guy out. He throws.
All right, go ahead. No, I'm not offended. I just.
But essentially,
you know.
Finally, when my parents decided I was old enough that I could that I could lock up the house and walk to school when it was time, they ooh, chicken faggot. That's a good one. Sorry, I'm distracted by chat. But the when it was time for me to go to school on my own, they said, "All right, you don't have to go see this horrible person anymore. You can stay home." And I went, "Oh, thank goodness. That's so great. That's so good to hear." And my mom's like, "Why are you so..." I mean, I remember this clearly. She was like, "Why are you so happy about this?" And I'm like, "Oh, she would yell at us. Her kids would start hitting on us. She'd swear at us. She just was... Oh, it was awful. It was awful." And she goes, "Why didn't you tell us?" And I'm like, "Because she was an adult. You know, you don't, you know..." I was really worried that if I complained about her, I would get in trouble. And my mom told me, "No, if an adult is doing something bad, you tell us, because you know, and we would have stopped this earlier."
And then point to the doll where she touched you.
Thankfully, there was no physical abuse. It was just her being a bitch all the time and just being a lousy authority figure.
That's touch involved. Weird.
No, there was no bad touch.
But you remember. You might have blanked it out, you know.
That's right. We can get some crackpot psychiatrist to do some repressed memory therapy and get it so that I was both molested and abducted by aliens.
There you go.
So
maybe she was an alien.
Yeah.
But essentially, that was a kind of a defined... I mean, I remember it so clearly, and it's something that's always come back to my mind, is that just because so-and-so has authority doesn't mean necessarily they're going to use it appropriately or that they're even, you know, to be trusted with that authority. And that's stuck with me. And that's probably the key reason why I'm not a sheep. How about you guys?
Well, this would be a great time to bring up, I guess the topic of the show is the topic is the call-in this week. We thought it would be, you know, worthy of filling up a show because we want to hear everybody else's stories as to why are you the way you are. I mean, everybody listening to this show, I would assume, realizes that you're a little different than, you know, everybody else that you probably meet on a daily occurrence. I know I am. I don't talk about it to a lot of people. You know, it's kind of like you fly under the radar. But why are you not a sheep? Why are you reading gun blogs? Why are you listening to the show? Why are you interested in the Second Amendment or self-defense or et cetera, et cetera? Like, what has happened in your life or in your head to make you what you are?
Why do you respect the Bill of Rights at all? Because most people don't give a shit about it.
That's
the truth. I was actually, you know, just having a discussion with my wife before the show started and just talking about, like, you know, internet privacy and, you know, all the, you know, bizarre, you know, searches and Fourth Amendment violations that go on. And she was going off on all this, you know, long, you know, winded stuff about, you know, corporations and greed and various motivational factors. And I said, it doesn't even come down to that. Is the bottom line is people don't care.
Right.
And, you know, people as a whole don't care. And it's obvious. I mean, there's umpteen million things where people will just sit down and go, "Oh, yeah, yeah, that's how it's going to be." If cops want to stop every single car going down a street and treat everybody as if they're a drunk driver, even though they drove up to the spot, they stopped, they didn't swerve, they didn't do anything that might indicate that they're a drunk driver. But hey, they're cops. They have shiny badges. Therefore, they're doing the good thing. They're heroes for this.
Smack my authority.
Exactly.
What?
Yeah. And excuse me, back
anyway. Anyway, our call in number is 214-530-0036.
And we have a caller.
Yay!
Yay! Good.
Let's see what area code 253 has to say. Hello.
Oh, hello. It's me,
MDev. MDev is talking to us from inside an airplane hangar.
Or something. Yeah.
Is it better now? I took off my Bluetooth.
Yes, much better.
You sound like Charlie Brown's teacher.
So, MDev, squawk at us about this.
What was that?
About why are you not a sheep? Because we know you're not one of them.
Oh, well, it was funny because I was thinking about this topic all day, you know, once I read the blog post. And my first fear was that when I was thinking about it, I am a little bit sheepish on certain things, you know, because I work for an employer that prevents me from, you know, being armed, and I follow their rules.
Okay. Now, do your rules make you like a felon if you do?
No, they would just make you unemployed.
Okay, unemployed. Okay.
Wow.
All right, go ahead.
I'm on the podcast.
Just curious.
So, no, but my sheep thing, I think, comes from a lot of years in scouting and just being told, you know, be your own advocate, stand up for yourself, and think for yourself.
Good man. So I got to put a plug in.
So I mean, that's where a lot of my kind of moral foundation and, you know, independence comes from. So, as well as my parents, you know, confirming those. But so I think that's my why am I not a sheep? And then, you know, part of it is this is just kind of ties into the media part that you were talking about, like why we read blogs. Is when I was like in high school, I just happened to be part of a number of things that would like make the local newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the first thing you do is you run out and you want to read the story that, you know, you're a part of. And every time you read it, you're like, that's not at all what happened. And then you make the logical connection of, well, if the story I'm involved in is really wrong, why would I assume that the rest of these are right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because people assume that it's like, oh, they just got the one that I'm a part of wrong, but everything else in this newspaper must be just fine.
That's that Murray-Gell-Mann amnesia effect.
Yes. Thank you, Alan.
It is.
No, I knew there was a specific term for it. I couldn't think of it.
It's actually, this was Michael Crichton. Invented this thing. He says, and I actually had to look it up. It's the Gell-Mann amnesia effect works as follows. You open a newspaper to an article on some subject you know well. You read the article. You see the journalist has absolutely no understanding of either the facts or the issues. Often the article is so wrong it actually presents the story backward, reversing cause and effect. In any case, you read with exasperation or amusement the multiple errors in a story and then turn the page to national or international affairs and read with a renewed interest as if the rest of the paper was somehow more accurate about far-off Palestine than it was about the story you just read.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
That's an absolute perfect description, and I didn't even realize that it was a real thing.
Yep.
I just threw a link to Paterico in... in the chat. So if you're listening and you're not in the chat, you're missing out.
Yeah, just Google Gell-Mann, Gell-Mann amnesia effect if you care.
Well, Jay, I guess I'm missing out because I'm also sheep that I'm not in the chat because I'm driving.
Please do not.
Drive safely.
Yes, yes.
Don't be like that video where the guy, you know, drives outside the ruts and gets plastered by a semi truck. That's the big video of the day. If you were on Facebook, weird, you'd have seen that.
That's right. That's stupidity being fatal right there.
Terrible.
Yes. There are a whole crap ton of those videos, by the way.
What's funny is they're almost all from Russia.
Yes. Apparently they're real big on dash cams.
Yeah, I was just going to say, everybody in Russia must have a freaking dash cam because all this weird shit you see comes out of Russia.
And they get serious about road rage. Oh. I mean, really, like that. I look like a piker compared to these guys. They will get out and take their shirts off and be like, "I'll fight you." It's like Brita in Russian. "I'll fight
what?
You." You can hear them.
Yeah,
you can hear them. Whatever the Russian phrase is, "I'll spit on you." And they're like, the guys are ripping their shirts off. They're looking like two angry bears dancing in the middle of the road.
Brita, if you take his shirt off, I will wrestle with you.
I will not.
There'll be a line. Who are you kidding?
Pussy.
Okay. You know, I want to bring up just for a second that somebody in chat alluded to the fact that we were thinking that if you don't carry at work because it's not allowed at work, then you're a sheep. Nope. I am not even implying that.
Not at all.
I don't even... How can I even imply that? That's what I do every day when I go to work. I am not allowed to carry at work because it's a felony.
Yikes.
If I carry at work. And I caught. that was in parentheses. But seriously, if you're following the rules and you are a law-abiding citizen, which includes not carrying where you're not supposed to carry, then... God bless you. You're the type of person we support. We are not implying that if you are, you know, somehow not breaking the rules to carry. I don't know. I'm so irritated by this comment that somehow we're implying that someone who follows the law is a sheep.
Right. Law abiding citizen does not equal sheep.
No.
At all.
Yeah, nor does someone making, you know, risk evaluations, because in that case I'm a sheep too, because it's one of those things of the I gotta weigh the dice. What are my chances greater of me pulling my gun and defending myself,
getting caught,
or me getting caught
and losing
me
your
getting
job,
fired,
yeah.
and then having that follow me around of just saying,
right.
Oh, I either never worked there at all, don't look at the man behind the curtain,
right.
I got let go because against company policy I was carrying a firearm and they caught that.
Yeah.
Good luck, Weirdington.
Yeah.
Right. I have the same problem. Like, if I get caught carrying at work, it's a felony. I can't carry or deal with guns or shoot a gun or anything for the rest of my life if I get caught carrying a gun at the library.
Now, to be fair, suddenly if I get stalked or I'm worried about, you know, pending natural disasters or breakdown of law and order of society or all of that, but it's not bad enough that I'm going to hunker down in my home. But I still feel that it's relatively safe enough for me to venture out and go to work. I may risk getting caught. It's all about weighing the things. You know, if I live in this shitty neighborhood in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
you know what? I may decide that, you know what, that carry permit and the risk of getting caught and getting even stuck with a felony. You know, it's worth a whole, you know, my life's worth a hell of a lot more than that. I'd rather be in jail.
Well, and nobody said that. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one who does this. On, you know, the kind of the next step of that is, you know, we all have our regular daily carry gun, and we may change that depending on, you know, external factors, whether it be political upheaval or whatever. You know, it's just the extension of that. There's a time where situational awareness is enough. There's a time where the J-frame revolver is enough. And there's a time where the, you know, light machine gun might be the better option. So it's just,
It'd be the Detroit option.
Well, no, that's the tank. That's the tank, Jay.
Straight to armor.
Uh-oh.
Ah, what happened to Chad?
Yeah, what happened to Chad?
Anyway, I got to let the dog out and let you guys know, or let you guys go. But I will be listening now that I'm pulling in. And have a good night. And
you
hope
too.
You all have a splendid New Year's.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
And so if anyone needs to know who let the dogs out, the answer is MDev.
Apparently we're having a little bit of a problem with the chat right now.
Looks like chat's foobarred.
Yay. No. Everything's foobarred all the time.
No, it's different things at different weeks.
Oh.
Every once in a while, Alan forgets to plug the phone in.
No, this is something with the chat server.
Uh-oh. Yep. It's totally to fuck sword, huh?
Well, it's not refreshing, so I don't know.
I see myself on the chat, and I'll chat with myself.
You can chat with yourself.
I just tried to.
Well, I just always see myself, too. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Great.
He's Weirdington Idol. He's chatting with himself.
Something wrong with the...
They're all back now. Or getting back.
Too many simultaneous requests.
I know.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody's coming back into chat.
Yep.
Okay, good. Well, cool. Yeah.
The phone line still works.
Yep, and we got another call.
Yay! Thanks for calling in, MDev.
This says it's from Lebanon, Ohio.
Oh, yay.
Hello, Lebanon. Area code 513.
Do they fight with Palestine?
They must.
No.
Lebanon, Ohio. It's actually Mason.
Cool.
Greetings, caller.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, Brita. It's Aaron.
Yay, Aaron. I'm so glad you called in. You know, I love female callers. No offense, guys, but, you know, it's cool when a chick calls in.
I like female callers, too.
Yeah. For different reasons, I'm sure.
Well, maybe the same reasons.
How are you, Aaron? I'm glad you called in.
I'm doing quite well. It's cold here too, Brita.
Yeah, it's crazy cold in Ohio today.
We don't have the lake effect like you guys do, but it is very cold. So I was calling mostly just because you guys were like, yeah, people need to share stories and why I'm not a sheep.
Yes.
So, like, I was taking martial arts just to kind of better myself and as a form of exercise. And we were doing a self-defense class against an attacker with a gun. And it kind of freaked me out a little bit. And I'd always grown up in a family that was always like, you know, guns are bad. You have to fear guns. Be afraid of guns.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, you know, I don't have to be afraid of a gun. And when I was taking the self-defense class, it really freaked me out. So I knew that's when I needed to learn about them, and I found a good friend who would be able to show me and teach me some things about them, and I learned. And my first gun that I bought was a .38 Special Smith & Wesson revolver.
Nice.
Probably a little bit big to start out with, but it worked, got me hooked. Now, my husband and I have like 10 handguns and 4 rifles.
Wow.
We're working on it.
That's what I have under my bed, but good start.
Yeah, that's what I call it too, a good start.
Absolutely.
Now, Aaron, I wanted to talk to you. I was so excited when you said on Facebook today that you were excited about the show tonight, because I was hoping that you would call in. Because I wanted to talk, I know you from Facebook, and I know you kind of from the show, and I haven't gotten a chance to talk to you, really. Do you have women friends that you try to, you know, take to the range and help them shoot, or, you know, is this like a thing to you? Like, do you have a, kind of like a dialogue with other women in your life about guns, or no?
It really wasn't ever come up until recently. For Christmas, my awesome husband made me a necklace with a .38 Special bullet because he does his own reloading. He was able to take the casing and a bullet and put it on a chain for me. And I wore it to work, and it really opened up a lot of dialogue. you know, of course I wanted to show off the necklace, and they were like, I have no idea you own guns, and went shooting. A couple of them were interested. I was able to convince one of my coworkers to go with me. Unfortunately, it's a guy, but he is bringing his girlfriend, who is also interested. The girls aren't so much. It's really hard to get people to feel open enough and to feel comfortable enough to come with me. I try. You know, I feel it's very important that we try to talk to everybody and get everybody comfortable with guns and not to fear them. You know, you don't have to fear the gun. You have to fear the person holding the gun. And then, of course, they back away from me slowly, but that could be something else entirely.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to laugh, Jay. That was a joke.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, it's just you're leading by example, and you're breaking it. It takes some time. I mean, you know, back when I was a gun hater, it took a good while to get me going. I mean, probably because I'm a dude, it was easy for someone to say, "Hey, do you want to go to the range with me?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure, why not?" You know, but even then, it wasn't like it flipped a switch on me. It started the ball rolling, but it didn't flip the switch immediately. And that's one reason, honestly, why it's good to have, you know, female callers and ladies into guns and ladies into individual liberty and freedom and all that, because it does certainly go against some stereotypes that the opposition likes to play, is that, you know, oh, if you're, pissed off that, you know, people are violating, you know, your Fourth Amendment rights and First Amendment rights and Second Amendment rights and et cetera rights and all that. Well, you're just some, you know, fat bearded, you know, doomsday, you know, person who's looking to fix a fight with the government and being macho and all that.
Crazy Wookiee suitor.
Yep, but then when some cute lady is suddenly saying, "No, I like guns and they're good to have around, and I want to be, you know, protecting myself and all of that," suddenly they start going, whoa, does not compute. Right. 404.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of people who tell me, you know, I'm afraid of, you know, I really hate guns. I don't like guns. And I always ask them, why? Do you know anything about guns other than they're always involved in the killing of innocent people? And they tell me, no, I don't really. I've never been around guns. And that's when I usually say, well, you need to come to the range with me. Come with me and I'll teach you. And then people just kind of, they're like, oh, yeah, maybe, someday. And I don't want to pester them, but I feel like there needs to be another way of trying to invite them to learn that guns aren't bad things, you know?
You know, I was able to, you know, I'm a librarian, so I was able to invite a lot of ladies I work with to the range, and everybody I took to the range loved it. They had a good time, and it was just kind of like, hey, just come out and try it, and it's not a big deal, and, you know, I love to do it, and you might have fun too, and it's just fun, and we'll go out afterwards, have a drink, or go out to dinner, or whatever. And it's kind of like a girl bonding thing. That's kind of how I approached it. You know, one of the girls that I took to the range from the library, she now has a gun in her house. Another girl that I took now has her concealed carry license. So, my mom now has her concealed carry license. Yay, mom. It's just kind of like you have to just kind of work it into your own personality and make it just part of who you are. And it's not even a thing. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
Okay, I go get my hair done. I go to the range. I go to the gas station. It's like not a thing. You know what I mean? But a lot of women have a hard time kind of accepting, you know, getting over. And I was one of those people. I was really anti-gun. And I had to be forced to go to the range. And luckily, you know, I was, you know, stubborn enough, like, okay, I went to the range and I was forced to go to the range. Now I want to get really good at it. You know, that was my thing. I wanted to get good at it. But different people need different approaches. And yeah. if it's like you go to work and you invite a bunch of girls out to the range for a girls' night out and then go out afterwards for like drinks or a dinner or whatever, that might be your thing, you know? It might be fun. Good luck.
Absolutely.
I'm excited.
Yay, Erin!
Yeah. Good.
Awesome.
Well, and, you know, Brita, I know everybody else lives kind of on the East Coast, but being from Ohio, we're going to have to, like, meet in the middle between Cleveland and Dayton sometime. And
I would love to. I would love to. I've been thinking
about
that a while. I've been seeing you on Facebook. I was like, wait a minute. She lives near Dayton. We could get together maybe, like, near Columbus or something. That would be fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That would be great.
Or you could
Very
drive
cool.
down there for the ham convention.
What?
Dayton has the big ham convention. Never mind.
Oh, Alan, you're such a nerd.
Thank you for knowing that, Alan.
You're welcome.
You've made all of us cooler just by staying.
Is it country ham? I like those.
No, it's radio ham.
Ham radio.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Oh, that's like that's like AM FM radio, but boringer.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow.
It's like the Squirrel Report of AM FM radio, right?
Yeah.
Except we're popular in China.
That's right.
Well, Erin, thank you for calling in.
Yay, thanks.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I'll continue listening to you guys.
Great.
Good.
Be on chat, awesome. And you can always find me on Facebook.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Bye. Okay.
That was a good awesome. Call.
That was good.
That was.
Yay, Erin.
I love hearing from women because it's a whole different experience, you know. We don't go out and, like, have, you know, if we have misunderstandings, we don't, like, go out back and, like, have a fist fight and then we're friends afterwards. It's, like, a whole different thing.
Maybe you should.
It might be a better idea.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And especially when it comes to like the gun argument is you know you hear all this you know you can hear all this macho bullshit is oh you don't need a gun you can punch somebody or you can run away or all of that and it's one of those you know first up you know yeah I'm a dude yeah I'm in reasonably good shape but I ain't the bionic man. But still, when it comes to ladies, they can really defeat a lot of that bullshit fast.
Yeah.
Yep.
Of going, oh, well, really? I can just run away? Oh, then why is it that the Olympics don't let the women run against the men?
Well, not only that, but no matter how badass you are, there's somebody that can kick your ass.
Oh, there's always a bigger dog.
Right.
Always a bigger dog.
So, or there's two. Or three,
yep.
You know.
Or five.
And then, yeah, you know, I mean.
Carry a spare magazine.
Yeah, exactly. Which is which is the big argument why size restricted magazines, magazines other than normal capacity are such a bad.
I don't like that. You know, how many spare mags do I have to carry,
yeah.
Really? Really?
How many you got?
Yeah.
Not enough, apparently.
Well, and some... God, what was
I've always thought one spare mag is enough, but now.
Well,
I generally like two, and sometimes an extra gun will help.
It depends on what you like. One of my favorite sayings is, you know, the guy that asked, hey, you carry a gun? Were you expecting trouble? You're like, fuck no, I'm not expecting trouble. If I was expecting trouble, I'd have a rifle.
Right.
I'd have a rifle and I'd stay home.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be here. I'd
exactly.
be somewhere else.
Jeez.
Yep.
Yeah. Plus, okay, and one of the things, okay, us, you know, we're talking about the why you're not a why you're not a sheep. And I see the sheepdog thing a lot, which is, and I, you know, I'm not gonna quibble with sheepdog, except that.
Oh, you do want to though.
I just think it's a, because frankly, I don't think, you know, I'm fine with the explaining why you're not a sheep, but I'm not fine with the whole, with, you know, not a sheep equals sheepdog, because.
Yeah.
Frankly, I'm not interested in taking care of the sheep. I'm not interested in protecting the sheep. I'm interested in protecting me and maybe, you know, my family or friends. And that's it.
I'm concerned about my baby sheepdogs. Yeah, that's it.
I don't give a shit about the sheep. The sheep can go die somewhere. I don't care.
That's an excellent point.
And they're
because
tasty.
That's an excellent point. You know, police are not paid to protect the sheep.
That's right.
They're, and nor are they expected.
The gun that they carry is to protect themselves. It is not to protect other people.
No.
That's a big thing. Is every reason a cop carries a gun is the exact reason why I carry a gun.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's one of those things that people talk about. Oh, you know, just call the cops. Yeah, no. So the cops can show up with guns to the trouble that I'm in.
Right, and then sit around and not doing anything because they don't want to get shot.
Yeah,
which is the
even
big
if they
flaw.
Come dashing in, they're not right there, and you are. You're right there. So I am perfectly happy to carry exactly what the cops carry.
Yep.
And, you know, because it's for the exact same reason the cops carry it. The cops don't carry it. I mean, the stupidness of the, why do cops carry, you know, guns with high capacity magazines, and why do they have ARs in their cars? Oh, it's, you know, because they're up against all this heavy firepower. Now, if they're up against heavy firepower, they call a fucking SWAT team who has machine guns and armored personnel carriers and helicopters.
That's right.
No, they don't carry that. They carry that just to defend themselves because they're effective and they work and it'll probably save their lives.
Which brings up the whole, you know, I hate. Well, no, I don't hate. I'm gonna circle back to what we were talking about last time, because this whole, you know, oh, let's put security guards in schools, you know. When people start shooting, there is no way to tell ahead of time what a security guard's reaction is going to be when people start shooting.
Of course not.
He might freeze. He might run away. He might attack the guy shooting and get killed instantly. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with the security guard. Saying you're going to put putting a security guard in the school will stop a killer is the same as saying the gun-free zone sign will stop them. It's a magical talisman.
Exactly. I don't think anybody has considered that you always think of, oh, security guard, the guy with the gun at the door. But those are called targets.
Yep.
I'm sorry to put it that way, but security guards are the first target. That'd be the first guy I took out.
Only in one place.
And people are like, well, put in metal detectors. Well, the guy who's manning the metal detector would be the first guy I took out. I mean, really? I mean, is it that hard to figure out? I don't think so.
Right.
If you think metal detectors going beep is going to stop anyone, well then you can. Then why don't you put all your faith in those lovely rape whistles?
Exactly.
Because God knows a shrill noise will definitely deflect a rapist.
Yeah, those will just turn people away.
Or it will cause Prince Charming on his white horse in his shining armor to run to your rescue. And if you believe that, well, I think you need to grow up just a little bit.
Right.
If you believe that, you believe that Weird just has a cold sore.
Well, the reality is the reality is you cannot, you know, we've seen it over and over again throughout history. Defenses do not stop people that want to come kill you. You know, no matter what defense you come up with, somebody's going to come up with a way to pass it. You know,
right.
there is no defense that is 100% effective. None. Zero. It's not going to happen. And trying to make
a defense that's 100% effective just causes all kinds of problems, you know, that you don't want to deal with.
Yeah, it caused, like, you know, the police state.
Right.
Here's the other thing. Look at what happened in the Jonesboro, Arkansas school shooting. They pulled a fire alarm, and as the kids filed out, they were picking them off with rifles.
Oh, yeah. Lovely.
There you go. Okay. Using the system against them.
Exactly. What good? You tell me. What good is a security guard going to do there?
None at all.
You know, what good is the gun-free zone?
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
I've always thought that violence is a very one-on-one situation. If one person is committing violence against you, it is a very one-on-one situation. And unless you have, like, a personal bodyguard, you have no guarantees.
You have a personal bodyguard, you have no guarantees. Because once you get killed, it doesn't matter. The check's still going to clear.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, he runs away, you're dead. Then what?
Right.
Yeah. He's going to find a new job. Yeah. You're still dead.
Or if he gets shot. Right. You know. Yeah.
Or he goes to go take a leak.
Yep.
I guess it comes down to personal responsibility.
So anyway, huge digression.
Not really, because I mean, it goes down to that's another big thing towards being that all you've got to do is get past that little fairy tale that essentially, you know, oh, I don't need to protect myself because this complete fucking stranger who I've never met, who I do not know, who I don't know their name.
Yeah, we'll put their life on the line.
Is going to come sweeping into my rescue while I'm a fucking damsel in distress.
Right.
How fucking modern feminist is that? Ladies, don't defend yourself. It takes a man to do that. You know, you just realize that, you know, you've got to protect yourself. And so then when people tell you, oh no, we'll keep you safe, even though we don't give a fuck about you.
Well, the thing is all this bullshit is not about preventing these crimes. It's not about preventing, you know, cause frankly, the people that make up the government criminals don't scare them. They don't give a shit about the criminals. They don't give a shit about kids getting shot. They don't give a shit about people getting mugged. They don't give a shit about people dying in car wrecks. They don't give a shit about any of that stuff. What they care about is armed civilians
power
that will protest their power grabs. And,
right.
And that's the agenda for all this stuff. You know, it's not about crime prevention. That's just the smokescreen. It's about the armed population that prevents the tyranny. And, you know, so far, it's worked.
And tyranny is not, I mean, and tyranny of, like, the worst kind. I mean, there's the more crass, you know, Tam's discussion of Sweden with NASCAR sort of statement of tyranny. But, I mean, there's the honest stuff, like the Stalin Soviet Union, Nazi Germany, the Americans that were rounding up the Japanese American citizens,
the Chinese Great Leap Forward,
what's going on in Myanmar right now, what's going on in the Sudan right now,
the American genocide against the Native Americans.
That's right. I work with a ton of Indians, and a lot of them are anti-gun, and it's like, what the fuck did the British Raj do to your people? They took their fucking guns away and they machine gunned them.
Right.
Oh, that's perfect. I mean, you know, the McFag did a great thing where he did a calculation of just Nazi Germany and decided that it would be like 1.2 million years of our current gun death rate before we even catch up to Hitler's purge.
And that was a small one.
And that was a small one, yeah.
Compared to the other socialist country purges in the 20th century.
Hitler, for some strange reason, gets labeled as like the ultimate badass when it comes to, you know, when it comes to wiping out people. But
he really wasn't that good at it.
Even compared to Pol Pot, who was a fucking pussy.
Yeah.
He was nothing. I mean, come on, can you think of anybody more sissified than Pol Pot?
Well, ask the Cambodians.
Well, yeah, but Pol Pot's a was a bitch. and yet he easily topped Hitler's score.
Yeah, he did. You know, we need more callers.
Yeah, actually.
And we have not even discussed our own stories about why somebody, are we not sheep.
Somebody was just trying to call in and then went away, so I don't know.
Alan, this is your back. Job.
Jay, I'm interested to hear your story. I have some suspicions, but I want to hear it from you directly.
My story's hard because I don't remember ever being a sheep.
Well, I mean, though if I may lead you a little bit, I mean, you know, your whole fucking family's all cops. to have family that's cops is, I mean, my father was a teacher, and so I quickly learned that, you know, teachers don't know fucking everything. You know, though, but it's a common misconception that suddenly teachers are the keepers of knowledge, and they're the smartest people in the universe. And
no, they're not.
I quickly realized that my dad's an awful smart guy, but I'd stump him with little kid questions all the goddamn time.
That's just because he didn't want to answer you. But
go away, kid. You're bothering me.
Yeah. Oh, fuck it. Even I remember. I think I was like a freshman in high school. My dad taught middle school. I was a freshman in high school, and I'm like, my dad taught math, and I'm like, Dad, I'm having trouble with this math problem. And my dad fucking cracked open the book and started reading it. And I'm like, all right, Dad, just go away. If you're just gonna fucking read the book and try to figure it out, I'm gonna do it on my own.
And what'd you learn? You did it on your own.
That's a pretty good
teacher, isn't it?
That is I guess you could call that a good teacher.
Inadvertent teaching.
Yeah, but I mean.
Hey, we got a caller.
Yay!
It's Nancy.
I keep trying to type in Gandhi was a pervert into the chat, and it's not taking it, so.
Was Gandhi a pervert?
Gandhi was a pervert. Look it up.
Oh, well, look at Martin Luther King.
I don't know about that.
How many mistresses did he have?
Oh, Gandhi liked little kids.
Well,
anyway.
Maybe the chat's foobarred again.
Hi, Nancy. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. What's your story?
The chat's frozen up again, I think.
Yeah, the chat froze up. That's why you can't do it. Apparently, server rooms haven't, or chat roles having an issue.
Are they still underwater, Alan?
Yeah, I don't know.
They haven't rebuilt from Sandy, you know, from all the billions of Obama dollars they were promised.
Yeah, I don't know what the problem is.
So, Nancy, let's hear your story. Squawk at us a bit, Nancy.
I don't know if I would say I was raised a sheep, but I certainly, no one ever discouraged it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this sounds so cliche. When I became a mom, you suddenly realize you have to become the person you want your kids to emulate. You want them to be a certain way, you have to become that person. That's it in a nutshell.
Aww.
I had to grow
Mama
a set.
Bear. Love it.
Mama Bear had to grow a set. Yep.
Plus, when you're doing all your reenactment stuff too, that teaches a whole lot of, you know. You gotta get some shit done by yourself. You can't go asking for help.
That too. Apparently, before I got my license to carry, I was at an event and Susan was, I think, 2, and I was pulling her around in a wagon. She'd finally fallen asleep, and reenactors were being funny with the "Oh, is that a real baby?" And she'd finally gotten asleep, and apparently, I went up to the sergeant with a maddened look in my eye and said, "You wake this baby and I'll kill you."
Uh-oh.
I got back to camp and I said, "I don't believe I said that. I wasn't even carrying a knife."
"I will kill you."
I believe the term is rip his arm off and beat him with the wet end.
I was very close. I was very close to it. But apparently I looked convincing enough that two of his privates were pulling him off. That sounded really odd out of context.
His privates were pulling him off.
Really, really very odd.
Would you expect any less from me at this point?
Nope.
So, yeah, that's all mine is.
Cool.
have to set a good example.
I bet there's a lot of that. You know, there's probably a lot of that that happens. People, it's easy to not grow up as long as you don't have to worry about anybody but yourself. But the minute you have to worry about somebody else, it's like, oh, okay, it's real now.
And it wasn't even the matter of growing up other as much as it was, I was taught to never rock the boat, never ask questions, don't disrupt the status quo, go along to get along, do what you're told, and nothing bad will happen. You know, I learned that wasn't exactly true, so...
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's frequently not true.
It's frequently not true.
It's frequently not true enough that you'd think people would stop saying shit like that.
You'd think.
But, you know.
But, you know, it's more that magic thinking stuff.
Yep. Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, like Weird was saying, people are trained to do that. And, you know, you go back and you read the history of public education and, you know, it starts off with, you know, communities. You know, at some point things went off the rails and, you know, a community would have a school and maybe hire a school teacher or, you know, taught their kids themselves. And it was kind of an ad hoc kind of a thing. I mean, there was no school system or anything like that, you know. Most people weren't educated. Literacy, you know, depending on the statistics you read, it was either really bad or really good. I mean, you know, but I mean, you know, we managed to have a country anyway, and get along. And then, you know, there was this whole industrialization of schools, you know, where and you know, you go back and read the history, and you know, schools were set up to train people to work in factories. You know, and that's. They were upfront about it. They weren't lying. They were training. You know, that's why you have, you know, the bells ring between classes and, you know, you have to be there on time. You have to do your work and you have to do your work every day and you have to be at a certain place at a certain time and the bell rings and you move. It's operant conditioning, right? And then in the 60s, it was hijacked by the Frankfurt School into teaching communism. So you had this system set up in the, you know, in the 1900s and early 20th century that was great for turning out people to work in factories, which was, you know, hijacked by the Long March through the institutions to teach communism. And, you know, it was, you know, the perfect system. It's a sheep training school. That's what it is. I mean, think about school, you know, you can't fight back no matter what. Even if you're attacked, you can't fight back. Because you get in trouble, no matter who started it, right?
Right.
So you're just supposed to just take it.
Yep.
Because all fighting is bad.
Right. No, violence never solved anything.
I mean, that actually takes my, you know, oh, why would you have the, you know, my new favorite retort is originally I did the more, you know, the more egalitarian retort of the, oh, why would you have a gun that's designed to kill? Well, it's not designed to kill. It's designed to stop and la, 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 la. And you lose them pretty fast. But I just point out, because killing's legal.
Yep.
If someone charges at me and attacks me or Nancy's walking in the park and someone decides to try to rape her, Nancy can blow the guy's brains out and it's 100% legal.
Yep.
And acceptable and downright awesome.
That's right.
We need more dead goblins, people.
We need more dead goblins.
Well, you know, it's no secret that the drop in violent crime coincides with locking the fuckers up.
Yep. Yep. And conversely, when they start letting them out of jail, they see the crime rate rise.
Yeah, imagine
that. And it's
a
big shock.
Yeah.
Unless the general population around them that they would see as prey are heavily armed.
Well, but then they just go somewhere else.
Right.
So, you know, the key is, you know, in fact, I don't even know why we lock them up. We ought to just kill them.
Yay, Texas.
It's cheaper.
It is. Well, you know, if it's done, you know, the way the liberals do it, you know, it takes 30 years. And
No. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah. You know, just... You know, I'm very ambivalent about the death penalty because I know the government doesn't always get it right.
Yeah. Yeah, and they couldn't make money in a whorehouse and
right,
give them the power of life and death.
I'm very suspect of the, you know, I don't want the state killing people, but I'm very much in favor of retail killing of people. I mean, you know, more people ought to die that do shit that's illegal. I mean, people that break into houses ought to get killed. People that burglarize, you know, people that steal your car ought to get killed. You know, they used to hang people for stealing horses.
Right.
And stealing a car is the same damn thing.
Yep.
And yeah. I agree with you, Alan, and I certainly am against our current death penalty because I think it does no fucking good because it costs a ton of money.
Right.
And when they kill the person, they run the headline, oh, we executed a mass murderer, and hold on, I got to cough.
Did he just mute himself?
Yes, he did.
I hit the cough button.
Yep.
Nice.
It's like a professional radio station here. But
no, it didn't.
But it's weird basement.
But the statement is like when they go and execute them, like the two pig fuckers in the Pettit murder, where they rape the mom and the girls and then set them on fire.
When they
finally end up executing those guys, if they ever fucking do, but let's just say that they do execute them, it's gonna be so long from now that we're all gonna have forgotten who the hell these guys were,
right,
and even who Dr. Pettit and his family were,
yep,
until they start talking about the case and you go, oh yeah, I do remember.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
but it wasn't. But the day before, you would have never thought about that case at all. Now, yep, meanwhile, if they had run through the appeals and all that and did it, you know, even in like a 2-year period of time, which is more than enough time to dig up any evidence and clear anybody of any, you know, malfeasance or wrongdoing or anything like that, it would be clear and simple. You do this, we're going to try you. If you're convicted, we're going to kill your ass. And I think that would do a whole lot more. But still, to converse on Alan of the, you know, you can't trust the government to, you know, to kill people. Well, on the same ideas, we are killing people.
Yep.
Even in places that don't have the death penalty, we do have life in prison, which is just saying, I'm not going to kill you by sticking a needle in your arm.
Right. I'm just going to put you in a cage till you die.
I am going to put you in a cage until you die of old age. And in my personal opinion, I'm not a retribution death penalty type person at all.
I know a lot of people kill the fuckers.
But I strongly disagree with that. I think when we put people down, I think we need to do it with dignity. I think we need to do it with respect. I think we need to not do it lightly. And at the same time saying, well, you did something really, really bad, so we're going to stick you in this cage with a whole bunch of other scumbags and really, really fucking bad food and people that don't get paid nearly enough to watch after your fucking ass. That's not killing them with dignity. That's not justice. That is bad justice.
Personally, I think they should use a 12 gauge and just line them up.
Well, that would actually be a very, very humane way of killing people, actually.
Yep. Do you think there should be different methods of killing people according to what crimes they've committed?
I think people ought to get to choose how they want to die.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they should choose.
Yeah.
I'm actually all for that, but you know, but when in doubt,
wheel of death, spin the wheel. we've added a new method of dying tonight. Let's see if it gets hit.
They say that the death penalty is kind of like a they claim the death penalty is a deterrent for certain things.
It would be if anybody remembered who the person was and what crime they did when they killed them.
Yeah. Right. However, if there was like a scale of death penalties, like how terrible is your death penalty going to be if you rape and kill babies? I mean, that's going to be pretty bad, right?
Yeah, I get you, Brita. I hear what you're laying down, but I'm just all for let's do the long drop hanging method. Let's shoot him with a firing squad, or let's titrate him with morphine.
Hmm.
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, I don't. If you're killing babies, there's no way to get it to add up right. Okay. I mean, you could pull their fingernails out and, like, let them slowly bleed out and give them a blood transfusion and whatever, cause them insurmountable, horrible amounts of pain. And does that really amount to a baby? I mean, what amount of pain and suffering?
Yes, but would it be a deterrent?
No.
Is my question.
No, it wouldn't be a deterrent because a lot of...
It sure as hell deter the guy that did it that got executed.
Well,
and that's really all I care about.
All I got to say is if you're worried about deterrence, then all you got to do is look at all of the cases of prisoners who are going up against the prison system saying, you're locking me up in this cage for life. Please just execute me. I would rather be dead. Name a single case where someone pled to be who was convicted and sentenced to life in prison without parole, who then turned around and said, no, I really would much, much prefer you to kill me. This death is scary enough for these people. How they get there isn't a matter. It's just the fact that we're checking them out is well enough. And I personally think that there's no way you can make it a zero sum argument. So I just think just kill them. I mean, try them, convict them, give them their appeals, do it as fucking fast as you can without, you know, without tripping and stumbling, and make it so that everyone sees cause and effect. Because right now there's no cause and effect.
Well, I don't think that cause and effect matters. I honestly don't think the death penalty is going, it does much to deter anyone, because, you know, frankly, these people are not sane.
That's true.
You know, by the time you're, you know, I mean, there's a difference between, you know, the you know, cold-blooded murder, you know, like the guy that's, you know, I'm going to kill you. I mean, not, you know, not self-defense, you know, or anything like that. You know, the cold-blooded, I mean, that person's not sane. I don't want to get all, you know, psychologically about it, but that guy ain't right. And anybody that would do that ain't right. And I don't know that the, you know, if you could stop time and say, look, Mr. Crazy Person, if you do this, they will catch you, they will put you in jail, and then they will kill you. Do you really think that's going to stop it?
Well, that is an excellent point, Alan. So that forces me to go to my fallback argument, which is just some people just aren't right. Some people just aren't safe. Child molesters,
exactly.
Baby killers, and all of these, mass shooters, and all of these, you know, domestic terrorists. These guys are not safe. They're dangerous. They'll always be dangerous,
and they need to put down, not for any deterrent value for somebody else, but just to keep them from doing it. You see all the time, see all the fucking time, they let these animals out of jail, and they immediately go kill somebody else.
The guy in New York who shot the firefighters was in jail for second-degree murder, for beating his grandmother to death with a fucking hammer.
Right.
Who lets 17 that years, person out? That's my
17
question.
Years later, you're free to go. And then,
the same thing goes for the criminally insane. It's one of those, if you determine that this person is super duper crazy, no matter what medical treatment we give you, you're not really going to get better. You're not really going to be, you know, you're never going to be sane enough that we can ever trust you.
Kill him.
around other people. Yeah, that's all well and good. We'll, you know, you're not going to suffer. We're not going to drag you through the mud.
We'll pat you on the head and put you to sleep.
But guess what? I don't want to feed you anymore.
I don't want to spend the money.
And if you're that crazy, I don't want you. I don't want you living like that.
Well, it's also dangerous for the people that have to take care of them.
That's another thing is that you're gonna lock up these people and leave them in a cage until they die. But meanwhile, you're gonna have people that are gonna that have to take care of them.
Right.
And what are these fuckers gonna do? So if they kill,
Father Gagin. Do you remember him?
Father Gagin. Yep. He got beaten to death in prison.
Molested young boys, got put in jail, and was beaten to death by a lifer. You tell me what you can, and that guy is now a hero and a badass. And guess what? He's in jail for life. What are you going to do to him?
Yeah,
give him more child molesters.
What are you going to do with them? House them with more child molesters?
Yeah,
exactly.
I love this plan.
Yeah.
Do the old Marshall Dodge joke. We're going to peg those lobsters and we're going to set them again.
I don't have a problem with that.
Nope. But seriously, what incentive can you give a lifer to
behave? That's also what happened to Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yep.
Yes.
Hey, exactly. Nancy's still on the line.
Yeah, she is.
Hi.
Yay.
Hi.
Yay.
Hey, Nancy, we got a couple of people that are waiting to call, so let's
say. Don't me.
Bye.
Aww.
Bye.
I pick up Nancy.
Yeah, but that's okay because we have Dennis.
Dennis
is on the line.
I know that dude.
I have to say hello, Brita. I have
Hi.
To say, I always give a special hello to Brita. I have to say, Alan.
Cute.
Dennis?
Yes.
Okay.
I have to say, Alan, in the past few minutes, I've been listening to you, and when you say, you know, this is Texas, we just kill them, the first thing that popped in my head was Ron White's routine of, we have the death penalty in Texas, and we use it. If you've ever listened to Ron White, I'm sure you have.
Yep.
And your comment of, well, you know, so they're crazy, so kill them. And he actually does that in his routine. He says, this guy, and I forget what routine it was, you know, this guy committed a crime so heinous, he says, I couldn't even get my head around it. And right at the sentencing, this group comes up on his behalf and says, wait, we can't kill him because he's too crazy to understand that we're killing him.
Yeah. What the fuck?
And that's a problem within the whole legal system. You're insane. We can't kill them because they're insane. We have to wait until they're not insane so they realize that they're being killed.
Yeah, that's that talk about cruel and unusual punishment.
You know, and that's a problem. And then with your, you know, we just added a new way of dying today. Let's spin the wheel. And I know this dates me right there. The first thing that popped in my head, and I bet you know what I'm thinking of, is Animaniacs and the Wheel of Morality. If you ever saw the Animaniacs cartoon Wheel of Morality, turn,
yep.
That's exactly what I thought of when you said, you have to spin the wheel and see what happens. That is fantastic.
You could make it a game show. It'd be like, you know, you could have, like, it'd be like a weekly, it's the
No, they do it in Japan.
It's the weekly show, you know, spin the wheel,
right.
how are you going to die?
They have all those crazy shows in Japan. We can have the, how are we going to die, and people can call in, text 52353 to your favorite way of dying,
right.
And there you go, and then, you know, whoever's on death row that week gets to spin it. And it's going to be something new every week. You
That's
never
right.
know what you're going to be up against.
That's right.
Wait. Raffle off chances to be the dude that pulls the lever, pushes the button, or whatever. Think about it.
Oh, death!
You could
raise
millions.
Death by firearms. You're gonna be death by firing squad, and we've got all these cross-eyed mob ninjas to shoot you. They all brought their favorite high point.
With bargain basement hollow points.
Oh, my Lord.
Talk about a deterrent value.
You know, and the thing is, you know, you mentioned everything, and like I said, the first thing I thought about was a comedian doing the whole death penalty routine, but, you know, it's I don't know if it's sad that I thought about that, but the first thing that came to mind is, the points that Ron White was making was, wait a minute, in Texas we have a speed lane. We got the express death penalty lane, and they use it in Texas. Other states really should take notice of that and heed of that, because the prisons are overcrowded. We shouldn't be letting them out. Jay made a very good point. You let them out, the first thing you do is they kill again. You know.
Well,
we can't afford to keep housing and giving three hots in a cot.
Plus, we're warehousing these people, and they're just learning how to be worse in prison. It's like you put them in prison, and it's like a university for being a criminal.
Sure.
They learn from each other how to do shit.
Exactly. And now here's another idea. Back in the 1600s, Britain used to send everybody to a penal colony called Australia. Okay? why not just go ahead and pay Virgin Atlantic to launch them and send them toward Mars?
Mars. Oh, Mars is an excellent idea.
Here.
We send them
You can be free.
We send them with enough food to make the trip.
It's...
and enough food so they can survive for like 3 months, and we send raw materials and say, there you go. Here's a spacesuit. Here's how you put it on. There's enough oxygen. If you can build something to go ahead and survive and grow a garden, more power to you.
The problem with that is you'd have geeks committing crimes just so they could get sent to Mars.
But you know, Alan, think about it. Just like Australia, it'll suddenly after 200 years, it'll turn into a tourist destination.
Yeah, here's the problem with that is shipping criminals to Australia was cheaper than housing them for life in prison.
And we
sending
them to
criminals to the Mars is not cheaper than housing them for life.
But Australian pornography.
Is Reed advocating for Martian pornography now?
It costs millions of dollars to ship.
No, wait a minute. Virgin Atlantic can put you into space for $200,000 a seat. Now, if you go ahead.
Yeah, but that's not Mars. That's low Earth. That's not even low Earth orbit. That's a ballistic launch. That's not even.
I understand. But you figure, how much payload can you put in a Saturn V? You could probably get about 30 of them as payload.
Dennis, Alan is missing the point. Is also, tonight's execution is sponsored by Virgin Atlantic. What is that word?
There you go.
Primetime spot.
Oh, God.
Why Virgin Atlantic?
Reality TV is headed that way. What was that show? We keep our skies safer because we send the criminals to fucking Mars.
What was the game show where they died? Was it Rollerball? What was that? Shit. Oh, man.
The Running Man.
Oh, yeah, The Running Man. See, there you go.
Well, you know what? If Mars costs too much, let's do a moon first, and let's see if it works there,
Now you're talking moon as a harsh mistress.
Oh no!
I'll one up Dennis. Is just saying, you know, with gravity, you know, gravity's going to be working in your favor. The sun should be pretty easy.
Hitting the sun is actually harder than you think. You have to revert, and never mind. It takes a lot of energy to hit the sun, believe it or not.
Not if you're fucking Superman.
You have to reverse the vector of the Earth, the movement of the Earth around the sun before you can fall into the sun, and that takes a lot of energy.
Okay, well, you know, it was just a suggestion. I figured, you know, if we can get them off planet, and if you have economy of scale, if you can figure out a way to put a pack 40 or 50 on a Saturn V, and just launch them, if you figure 50 inmates and each inmate's going to cost you $3 million over their lifespan, now you've got, you know, economy of scale and it's cost efficient.
Okay, look.
Let's see if I can make Alan happy.
Let's go the same route as the British death penalty. We'll just send him to Libya.
They'll be the Libyan ambassador.
Yeah.
Oh my lord.
Hey, thanks, Dennis.
Anyway,
we got another call.
Thank you. Have a great night, guys.
All right.
Bye, Dennis.
And let me give a question out for callers. What's the difference between Libya and the moon?
This one's from Chula Vista, California.
California?
Chula Vista, California. Area code 619.
Crazy.
Hello.
Hey. This is Dirk Taylor.
I wanted to
answer why you got your question of the day as to why I'm not a sheep.
Excellent.
I used to be a gun control person, and then the Navy saw fit to send me to the fine city of Waukegan, Illinois. Now, Illinois, as we all know, has some of the strictest gun control laws in the country. No concealed carry still, despite being told they need to implement it. And a firearm owner's ID card. In the Cook and Lake County area, there's assault weapons bans, pistol control, you name it, they've got it.
Yep.
And I remember renting my first apartment that I had that wasn't in, you know, some nice suburban area that was set aside by the Navy, and waking up my first night there hearing what sounded a lot like fireworks. And my future wife had the same experience, and realizing that in spite of all this lovely gun control that the city had, that there was a literal gun battle going on within a few blocks of my house. And literally that week, I resolved that I was not going to live, you know, I wasn't going to sit there and be disarmed if I was going to be put in a place where, you know, the folks who were not supposed to have arms by both federal, state, and city law were going to ignore that. So that was the moment, the real moment at which I decided I wasn't going to be a sheep anymore. And literally 2 weeks later, I drove back to Colorado and I bought my first pistol, and have not looked back since.
Cool.
That's a good story.
It's always interesting to me to talk to people, because basically, I mean, I grew up, I don't know. I wouldn't say I grew up with guns, but I got my first .22 when I was 10. Does that count?
That does count.
Yes.
So, I mean, I've always been kind of like that. I think my first question authority moment happened when I was probably in third grade, and my teacher was such a dumbass that I was correcting her. And anyway, it's always interesting to talk to people that came to the gun thing later in life, because, you know, I always, you know, my dad had guns and, you know, they were like hanging on the wall. I saw them every day. And, you know, he wasn't a hunter, but he was, you know, he had, you know, guns he brought back from Vietnam and stuff like that. And you know, I had mine and grew up with them. And, you know, to hear from people that didn't and then kind of made the decision to become a gun person for whatever reason, it's always fascinating. I like hearing the stories just because it's so different.
Yeah. Actually, on that same line, my dad ended up, because my dad was the person I got my anti-gun stuff from, he ended up having the same experience when we got a ranch down in Texas, because our ranch is right down by the border, and he talked to all of his neighbors and that they were packing ARs every time they stepped outside the ranch house, and ended up going from being Mr. Handguns have no person but to kill people, or no purpose but to kill people, and, you know, ban anything that's not a bolt action rifle with a nice pretty wood stock, to calling me for advice on what AR he should get and which and who made the best pistols and everything else under the sun.
Nice.
So, you know, it's a very different world than it was back in 94, because I can remember very vaguely, because I was all of 9 years old at the time, how it seemed to be almost by acclamation that the assault weapons ban was a good thing, and then it was discovered that was not such a good thing, you know, after the congressional elections in 94. Anyways, I just wanted to share my story with y'all, and great. I'm going to go back to the chat room.
Cool.
And I'll,
well, thanks for listening. Calling.
Bye.
Bye.
Yep. Thank you. Bye.
And we got another caller. It was the Dirt Sailor. And we, area code 610. Hello.
Hey guys, this is Andrew.
Hey Andrew.
Hey Andrew.
Calling in to answer both questions for the night. First and foremost, I have lost count of how many official forms I've put 2012 on.
I can't count them either. It fucking pisses me off every fucking year. Every year I say to myself, dude, you got to remember it's the new year. You're gonna write the right year down, and I always fuck it up.
Yeah, I'm still writing December 2012 on stuff, but it hasn't even crossed my mind that it's January yet, let alone a new brand new year.
Oh, you know, that's what I've been doing too. I've been running 12s on both sides until I realized, oh fuck. All right, so why aren't you a sheep?
Well, I'm not a sheep now, because I was when I was a little kid. And all through, you know, preschool, kindergarten, and elementary school, I was bullied. I was the little shrimpy kid that got picked on by all the bullies. And, you know, all my teachers, my parents, the guidance counselors, they all told me, you know, the standard BS, politically correct, anti-bullying advice. You know, reason with the bully, tell him he's hurting you, ask him to stop, blah, 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 et cetera, so forth, so on, ad nauseum.
And by the way, we're not going to fucking help you with this at all. You're going to do this all by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. And I don't recall the exact moment, but at some point during, I think it was during fourth grade, I realized, you know what? This isn't working. So I begged and pleaded with my parents to sign me up for a karate class, and I don't know why, but they gave in, and that sort of pounded the don't be a victim mindset into me. And now I own a gun now. Brita, you will appreciate this. Yay. I carry a pocket knife around with me everywhere.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Everybody should have a pocket knife.
Come again?
Oh, I just said everybody should have a pocket knife.
Amen to that.
I freak out when people don't.
Everybody doesn't.
I know. I freak out every time somebody's like,
huh?
I don't carry a knife. I'm like, are you human? What? Do you?
Yeah. What's even worse is the same dipshits who don't carry a pocket knife are constantly asking to use yours.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's why we only carry cheap ones, because they walk off.
Mm-hmm.
You're not careful. Somebody come over. Oh, can I borrow your pocket knife? Can I borrow? Oh, yep. Shit. Where'd it go?
Oh, yeah. When I was in college, I'd pull out my Swiss Army knife, you know, to cut something open, and people would just absolutely, positively freak. Oh, my God, he's got a knife! But it's like, seriously? It's a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah,
and then five minutes later, they'd come knocking on my door. Hey, I got a package in the mail, but I can't open it. Can I borrow your Swiss Army knife?
Yeah.
Oh, I've had people flinch as I flick open my knife to open something they've asked me to open.
Yeah. I've had that same reaction.
And that's also
you look
something
like you had sharper teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. People point out, oh, you know, be careful when you're talking about, you know, guns for self-defense or these, you know, I posted a video of the guy, Stormgewehr on YouTube showing that, you know, 10 round magazines really don't make that big of a deal when it comes to putting rounds on target. Et cetera, et cetera. And people are going, well, really, that kind of just shows how effective they are, and it'll scare them even more. And it's one of those, these people are fucking scared of everything. You show a black powder gun and blast into some ballistics gelatin, and they'll talk about banning that.
This is true.
Hey, you think and make your hand into the shape of a gun, and someone's going to call the cops on you.
Maryland.
Or suspend you from school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jay, was that on your blog, the 6-year-old kid?
Yes, it was. States blog. Behaving badly.
Uh-oh. Brita disappeared.
Aww. Zero freaking zero tolerance, my ass.
Yeah.
But that's a rant for another day. I'll quit clogging up the phone line. So have a good night, y'all.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Dead air.
Yeah. Drink.
I'm looking at some Australian pornography right now, and I'm definitely thinking that Mars mission is a good idea.
Ah, yes.
Come on, dude. We got to get the price has to get cheaper. It's ridiculous. You can't. I mean, you're talking billions of dollars to send some criminals somewhere that geeks would pay money to go. I mean, come on.
And a 12-gauge double-aught buck is so much cheaper.
It's dirt cheap, and rope's even cheaper because you can reuse it.
I'm willing to pay for a new round every time. I am, because I'm just that. I'll pay for it myself. Here you go.
I'm willing to buy a fresh rope.
No, used rope so that they get they get whatever disease the guy had.
No, because then you'll get like a bird's nest or something in it. It'll snap and they'll break their neck and they'll be twitching and thrashing around, and that's just no fun for anybody.
Oh, that's YouTube right there.
Okay, that is YouTube. Ooh.
You know, they used to have, you know, the executions were public and people gathered to watch them and all that kind of stuff. I don't know how we got so squeamish. You know, we used to be a people that didn't mind killing. You know,
oh yeah, we killed food. There's some pretty reasonable statements that our quote unquote super duper humane lethal injection system, which I mean is just a complete fucking Rube Goldberg contraption, causes tremendous amounts of pain and suffering to the person before they die. Just you don't see it; it doesn't make a whole lot of mess.
Right. Oh yeah, the lethal injection thing where they do the three different things and
yeah.
Yeah, one paralyzes you, and you know it's like Jesus Christ. Can we think up a more? You know, they got to stick the thing in your arm, and it's just can we come up with a? You know, I mean,
yeah. Meanwhile, for like 1/100th of the price, you could stick the same needle in their arm and just give them a buttload of morphine. They have a brief moment of joy as that morphine just kicks right in, and maybe they'll puke a little bit. And then they'll pass out, and then eventually they'll stop breathing, and then they'll die, and no pain, no suffering, no big deal, and they get a little bit of a nice ride out of it. I got no problem with that.
If it means
we don't have to feed them anymore, I'll give them that moment of joy.
I'm wondering what's so wrong with hanging.
I'm wondering what's so wrong with the firing squad, because I could use the target practice.
Well, that and hanging, right. Hanging is a fairly instantaneous death. I mean,
I don't care about instantaneous.
You know what's more? You know what's even better than that, Alan?
What?
Guillotine.
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, guillotine and hanging is pretty much the identical mode of execution. Just one of them requires a little bit more work with a squeegee.
It is more graphic. There's a lot more splatter with the guillotine.
I you know, you want to talk about YouTube, all right?
Yeah.
You want a deterrent effect? Shunk. You make that into a ringtone.
Yeah. Instead, we can have the callers to call in to say how thick or thin we want them sliced.
It slices. It dices.
Jelly style.
Oh man. I don't know how we got off on this topic.
I have no idea.
But sheep.
Easy, because we're not fucking sheep.
Yeah, I don't.
We can put in our big kid pants and come up with big kid solutions.
I think about this a lot is, you know, how the fuck did we wind up so squeamish? You know, we got people that are like, oh, I can't kill animals. I go to the grocery store and buy my meat. Don't tell me how the cow died. You know, I mean, it's like,
yeah,
it's as we've become more quote civilized.
Yeah, I'm not
saying it's further. I think
removed from the day to day violence.
My grandmother used to kill chickens at the kitchen table.
I think it's a self-protection thing. I think people—it's hard to think about.
But why is it hard to think about? Because it didn't used to bother people.
Well, but and it's because it's again we're raised to like not rock the boat, to not go against it, and we're also told that, you know, violence is never the answer, and that we should never be, you know, brutal, and you shouldn't fight. And if somebody's bullying you, the last thing on earth you should do is bust the dude in the nose and say, pick on somebody fucking else. I'm not the guy.
Right.
You know, we've been told that it's bad and horrible and awful and never something you ever, ever want to do. And so therefore people just decide that, because, I mean, you know that if we put an execution, even if it was a lethal injection, we put an execution on YouTube, It would make millions. I mean, just look at the sale of the Faces of Death video.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's whole websites where all you gotta do is just look up, you know, dead bodies and things like that, and you can find people with their heads blown off with shotguns and ripped apart by wild dogs and impaled on pikes and all sorts of really, really graphic, horrible stuff. Why do you think that shit's there?
Heads on pikes.
Yeah, because there's a part of us that enjoys it, but society tells us, just like this Australian pornography that I'm looking at, people say you shouldn't enjoy it.
Does it involve koalas?
No.
What?
Okay.
No.
Australian pornography. I don't know. Call us.
No, no. Weirdbeard is a huge fan of AbbyWinters.com.
Oh, the furry. I got you.
Well, some of them aren't, but the ones I like are.
More. Yeah.
Oh, now I got to go look at this.
I'm totally sidetracked now.
put a link in the chat, Weird.
Oh, you know what I noticed today about this whole thing is that the same people who were like, you know, the people every day who are like, oh, let people conceal carry in, you know, and they're all like, oh, there'll be blood in the streets and wild, wild west, and there's going to be shootouts in parking lots and blah, blah, blah. These same people who have such great imaginations about what could happen involving legal gun owners, you know, have the least amount of imagination when it comes to actual violent situations that occur. Because they're the first ones, the first type of people who are like, when something does happen, they're the first ones to be like, oh no, things like that don't ever happen here. Well,
oh yes, this is a safe town. That never happens here.
This is a safe town. Yeah. Nothing ever happens here.
Or the same people who say society is too sick to let, you know, to let people, even people that have never done anything in their whole fucking life that's, you know, a bit, you know, off color, have carry a gun with them. Even fucking carry their gun with them as they take their kids to school. This is their fucking kids.
Right.
Yeah, they definitely want to shoot up their kids' friends. You know,
you can't
let them do that because society's too fucking sick. But society is so fucking sick, yet we can totally trust the government.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I had this thing on Facebook today where there's this Facebook page called I Love Libraries. And they posted a question, you know, and this was about the school shooting thing. And people are suggesting that we arm teachers. And they brought up the question, should we be arming librarians? And how would that affect your perception of libraries? And would you actually feel differently about libraries if librarians were being armed? And really, the problem with me, problem I have is that they equate me, who is, I have been... background checked. I have been fingerprinted. I have worked with the public for over 10 years.
I have not killed any of them yet.
And I have not killed anyone
which is
yet,
a fucking miracle.
Despite being provoked numerous times. I am the person that you would really want to carry a gun. You know, out of anybody.
But we're going to require you to use a silencer in the library.
Yeah, these people, the people, and really fellow librarians are equating me, a gun owner and someone who carries a gun, with a crazy person who will go shoot up a school. I am not the same person as that, and I think a lot of gun owners, you know, have that problem. Is that we're not the same, and I don't understand why people think that just because I have this inanimate object, I'm the same as the crazy guy who will go shoot up a school.
Well, you know, we might own
cars. You know, we both own cars. We both own blenders. We both own kitchen knives. However, a gun is somehow different. I don't know.
Well, another thing is people talk about like, oh, you own a gun to be macho and, you know,
more
ballsy and all that. Talk about something that totally makes your macho-ness shrink is suddenly having a gun with you. Is suddenly you just suddenly realize, you know what? I really don't want it. You know, this guy's causing some problems. I might have said something smart, but you know what? Now I don't want to say something smart for fear that this might escalate to the point where I may have to use this gun. That's really not what I want to do. I used to flip people off when I was driving and honk my horn and be a dickhead. Now I realize, no, because if that dude fucking gets out of his car, it's going to be on, and I don't want that. And so nothing has turned me more into a quote-unquote by the schoolyard bullshit terminology of a pussy into, you know, is me carrying a gun, is having the actual capability. It's fine if you can imagine what a tough badass you are. And the same thing goes with the, oh, man, if I had a gun, you know, I'd dive in and save the day. No, fuck no. If I'm in a shopping mall and I start hearing gunshots going off and there's an exit nearby,
I'm gonna have
my hand on my gun, but I'm going to be getting the fuck out of Dodge. And unless somebody gets in between me and that exit, I ain't pulling that gun for you guys. Sorry.
It's not your job.
Nope.
It is not my job. I carry that gun because I want to fucking go home. And by me trying to protect you unarmed sheep, you know, the whole statement of the, well, I don't need to carry a gun because Weird's here and he's always got a gun with him. I'll just get behind Weird. You better hurry the fuck up because I ain't gonna protect your ass. It's that, you know, I'm protecting yours truly, and my loved ones and my friends, but you guys, no, sorry. You know, if it happens to be that I end up protecting myself and you benefit from that, well, congratulations, you just won the lottery.
Yep.
But it's no
free rider.
Waiting for the cops to show up.
Yep.
You hit on one of my favorites, and that's the whole, if you allow concealed carry, there's going to be shootouts over parking spaces because you're going to get out of your car your 3,000 to 5,000 pound ballistic missile to shoot somebody with a gun? No, you're going to run them the fuck over because it's a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah.
And if they're not going to run you over with a car, guess what? They're not going to pull their gun and shoot you, you fucking dolt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This disconnect between I can use this multi-ton vehicle effectively, but I will lose my mind and use this small portable device incorrectly. And nobody ever explains how the two completely opposite thoughts exist in the same brain.
Yeah, to expand on that, I've had people say, well, I know you. You're a good level-headed guy. You know, you're not a super duper crazy. You can own whatever the hell you want. That's fine. I just don't want every old Joe walking around with a gun. And I point out every old Joe is driving down the fucking street in their car while you're walking on the sidewalk. And all he has to do is yank the wheel 2 degrees to the side and climb you. You know, really, why is suddenly a gun so much more different? If someone's going to do something that brazen, that just malicious and that deadly, you know, to pull a gun and just start shooting people, why is it they aren't going to just suddenly say, hey, look, there's a crowd of people waiting to get into the movie theater. I'm just going to swerve over and just see how many I can pile up.
Yeah.
Which does happen. Read the
It actually happens a lot.
I got a whole bunch of mass murders of just somebody deciding to drive a car off a road, or, you know, either I got a bunch that are intentional and I got a bunch where someone just drunk out of their mind and plows into a bunch of people at a bus stop.
You mean it wasn't the SUV's fault? Because I thought that was the thing. It was the SUV's fault.
SUVs exude mind control rays.
They do. Well, and they go off on their own and run people over.
Well, you know, it's actually been a good meme at our house from the NRA and all the other dipshits talking about violent video games and violent movies is I'll be like either playing Call of Duty or we'd be watching a movie. And every time we see something happen, saying, oh, I want to go out and do that. And it keeps getting more and more ridiculous. It's a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, the part of the problem is people are really, really bad at calculating, you know, risk. You know, we're hardwired for a very different world, and the world we live in now, we haven't lived in it long enough for our brains to be able to calculate risk. Like, you know, people hear about an extremely unlikely, so unlikely that it, you know, it statistically never happens school shooting event, and they freak out and panic. Meanwhile, they ignore the far more likely risk of dying on their way to work.
Yep.
From, yep. You know,
the
just
one
from
in a
traffic
million
wreck.
School
yeah.
shooting.
Oh, one in a billion. I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
The you know, yeah, you got a better chance of winning the Powerball than you do of, you know, even knowing somebody that was in a school shooting. So, you know, it's we're just not, you know, the humans are not good at judging risk at all.
Well, I mean, it's the same idea as the and we've got some present company that I think has gotten over this, but the people who have fear of flying, everyone knows that, you know, it's yep. you're far more danger driving from Massachusetts to Ohio than flying from Massachusetts to Colorado in an airplane.
It's different.
Yep, that's true.
Damn it.
Well, it is different, but it's still safer to fly than it is to drive.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, I mean, it's even worse for me because I ride a motorcycle.
Yeah.
I'm probably like 10 to 50,000 times more likely to get killed on my motorcycle than in an airplane.
Right.
You know, and it's just one of those things, you know, and for me, I'll freely admit it, it's the control part. I am not flying the plane.
And that's...
I'm that way in cars. I have trouble if someone else is driving the car.
Yeah, exactly. You know, whereas I'm driving the car. If something bad happens, it's my own damn fault.
Yeah.
Well, so Jay, to be fair, when you get into your truck in the morning to drive to work, whenever do you get a total stranger to touch your balls before you go driving?
Well, there's that.
Yeah, I mean, and I will freely admit that comes from the irrational part of my brain that, you know, it's not logical. It's purely, I mean, obviously I've gotten over it, but.
It's the monkey brain.
Well, yeah. I mean, but that's the.
I'm up over 100 feet. I would die in a fall.
Yep.
And it's that raw, pure emotion. And I think that the loss of control is what gets people with firearms. Because they can't control that, which is why they want to pass laws, because then we can control it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, but it's a false thing. Yeah, it's not real.
But again, I'm safer on my Harley because I'm controlling it. Yeah. No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
You're safer on the Harley because you're driving it and you know that you're immortal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean that's really it. I mean it's the same thing goes from the fact that a whole bunch of gun people will come in and they'll start chiming in about ballistic energy and about magazine capacity and about, you know, about multiple attackers and all this very things and about 223 and home defense and the bullet being quickly destabilized by wallboard and things like that. And these people just talking about, you know, 200 rounds a minute, high capacity bullet clips. I mean, it's one side is operating completely out of ignorance and emotion, or you tell the families of those babies killed at that you want to keep your guns.
You love your guns more than children, yeah. Right? Uh-huh. Right. That's exactly it.
Actually, I love my guns more than your children. So,
yeah, that's right. Your kids can go to hell.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
My own children. Your kids can go to hell and die in a fire.
Exactly. Do not care.
Yep. To be fair, none of us even knew that Newtown, Connecticut existed.
Nope.
Except for the few of us that happened to live in that area. But it's just, it was a little small town that nobody knew anything about until suddenly there was a major news event. Now suddenly we care about them.
I still don't.
Just the same way as suddenly people care about people living in Iraq when Bush was president.
Oh yeah,
but not anymore.
Yeah, the body count was like a daily thing on the news when Bush was president. The minute Obama was inaugurated, it's like body count. What's that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, our soldiers aren't dying anymore.
Yeah, it was interesting seeing Code Pink at the NRA press conference because where the hell have you been? I haven't seen Code Pink in about 6 years.
Yeah.
Since Breed addressed them down in Charlotte.
I did? Oh. Yeah. Yeah, they're easy.
Oh, well, we're about out of time.
Yes, we are.
And nobody's doing a last-minute call-in, so.
Good.
I guess we'll.
And nobody still has my story about why I'm not a sheep.
So tell us your story.
Nope, too late.
It's not too late. Sorry. We got 5 minutes. Come on.
Nope.
Spill.
No, I'm
everybody else. That. Everybody else told their story, so your turn.
That's okay.
Nope.
Anyway, next week, so a week from now is going to be the January 10th.
Brita.
Wow.
I know.
The people have a right to know.
Too late.
The chat room demands it.
No.
Rita, your public demands it.
Yes.
Your posse demands it.
I think anybody who's ever known me during my life has known that I've always been kind of, I think the word is feisty.
No.
No. Yeah, maybe feisty is a good word, but I've always kind of had this fight in me, and I think it comes from, you know, dealing with a lot of crap since I was a kid, you know, physically, and having to be in the hospital when I was little and fight for, you know, whatever. But and fighting to be able to do what I want to do. You know, I was in acrobatics when I was little, and I was in tennis in school, and it was always kind of like I had to fight to prove that I was who I was. And I think that carried over to the gun thing where, you know, I have this will to be autonomous, and I want to be myself, and I want to do what I want to do, and nobody's going to stop me. And the gun thing didn't ever come into it until much later in life. You all know that I was anti-gun for a long time in my life. And then I started shooting and I was like, hey, you know, wow, this can really enforce the fact that fuck you, I'm going to do what I want to do. And no, you are not going to, you know, hurt me. No, you're not going to stop me. You know, that sort of feeling. It's kind of, when they say it is an equalizer, I really took that to heart. And top that off with the fact that when I was learning about guns, there was a story in the news locally where there was a young girl and she was kidnapped. And later, months later, they found her head. And I thought to myself, I do not ever want to be kidnapped and decapitated. And that is, I mean, it's gruesome, but it's a huge thing for me. I do not want to be murdered. I do not want to be decapitated. I do not want to be someone's meat. And it comes down to that. It's as primal and as basic as that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we were talking about the Pettit murder case. I mean, that was one of those.
And
the guys
broke
into the house and they forced these people
exactly, you
know, who were unarmed and defenseless to go to the ATM and take money out for them. And
right.
and they did, because they were just, all they were doing was hoping that these people who had admitted openly, we're fucking monsters. We are beyond anything you have ever encountered. None of us have ever encountered anything so savage and horrible as these two beasts that committed this crime that is probably one of the most horrible crimes out there. And they were just hoping, well, maybe they'll let us go.
Right. No.
Nope. Nope. Instead, they got raped, horribly beaten, brutalized, and then they got burned to death.
Right. And, you know, it's like I never once assumed that a firearm was some sort of magical thing where it was going to protect me at all costs. But, God damn it, it gives me an edge, and I'm going to take it.
Yep. So that's
because
a statement.
I am not going out like that. I'm not. That is not going to be my story. I'm not going to be some decapitated girl out found in the weeds somewhere. It's not going to be my story.
Yeah. The whole, like, you know, the Aurora shooting situation. People say, well, you know, if you had your gun there, you know, would you have been able to stop it? You know. you know, a dark theater filled with smoke, and there's shots, and there's people all panicking around you and all that, and it's one of those.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really, really dodgy situation. No,
right?
I really don't know if I could have if I was in that situation, I could have made it turn out any better.
Right.
I sure as hell know that I couldn't have made it turn out any worse.
Right. You know what? Mike and I have been watching, and I know we're going over the time, Alan. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
But Mike and I have been watching, like, true crime stories on Netflix, and almost 98% of the stories are about women victims. And I watched them, and I thought, and every single time I think, that is not ever going to be me. I am never going to be in the paper to be the missing woman or the woman found dead wherever. It's not going to be my story, and I'm choosing that. I have chosen that, and that's and really that's why I carry a gun. That's why I'm not a sheep. It's because I have chosen not to be, because I see that it's possible. I live in reality. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm a small person. I am a woman. I'm not strong. I have one leg. I can't really run away from people. It's not going to be my story.
Here, here.
I'm not going to be a victim. And you have to consciously decide what is going to be your story. And I think people who just say, oh, well, bad things don't happen. And oh, guns don't solve anything. And violence is never the answer. They live in this fantasy. And I think they really need to look at what actually happens in the real world. Women do get victimized and left in fields dead and raped and cut into pieces. And it happens. And you have to choose not to be that. And that's why I'm not a sheep.
Good.
Okay. Can we end now?
What a fucking awesome place to end.
Okay.
All right.
You heard the battle hymn of the Republic.
Yeah. That's like, yeah. I need to find that music and put it on the thing, because that's, yeah.
You can hear it.
What an awesome.
Makes a choice.
That's a, yeah.
I want Breida to be the NRA spokesman, damn it.
Yeah, forget that.
Fuck Wayne LaPierre. Yeah. I want Breida to give that press conference. Be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
That's right.
Oh. Thanks.
Awesome.
Say,
all right.
I'm gonna go carry my gun, and I'm going to go home, and I'm going to watch some violent movies.
And play violent video games.
Yay. And I'm going to drink some beer.
Because it's America, goddammit.
Yep.
All right.
Maybe yell at my husband a little bit and then not shoot him.
All right. Well, we're done.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, people.
Everybody, carry your damn guns and don't be a victim.
Right.
Because Breida said so.
That's right.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Good night. Good night.